here, Cornerstone teammates. This is Laramie, and I want to welcome you to our worship podcast, where we're studying the art and the heart of worship. We want to build you up, deepen your understanding, support you, and encourage you to get out there and do what God's called you to do. So let's get started.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and
a light unto my path.
See, now you finish that song and you recited Psalm 119, 105. Revelation 4:8, you all know that one as well. Holy, holy, holy. Scripture right from there. Ecclesiastes 3. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, made popular by the birds. Number 6, 24 to 26, you all know that one. The Lord bless you. And
so you gotta give us the first words.
Yes. But it's interesting that the number of songs that we sing that are scripture, that we have scripture memorized because of it. We have songs that remind us of God's faithfulness. You know, when we sing, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's scripture again, it's Ecclesiastes. But it's also a reminder that each day is new, but God's faithfulness is there. When we sing about the holiness of God, we're reminded of there is no one like him, holy, holy, holy. And when you think about the picture of what that is, it's all the angels and all of the elders in heaven looking to him and just singing this, declaring it over him. So it's a lot of times the songs that we're singing help us to memorize scripture or to memorize or be to think about the character of God. But I think what helps us to do that is because it's music. Music has a way to just kind of, it can carry, I was going to say it can carry a tune. Well, that's obvious. But it kind of stays with us because notes in music just are, I don't know if you're like me, but they're always kind of repeating in my mind. Well, this month's topic is singing is instructive and helps us learn and internalize things about God. Music helps us memorize information, scripture, and reminders of the character of God. Singing about God can be very formative, as it will affect the way that we think about God, the way we pray, and other aspects of that. It's also a concrete way that we teach the faith to the next generation. So just as singing can help us memorize the alphabet or the name of the 50 nifty United States, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, it's skipped. It is. But you know all 50, you know all 50 states all of a sudden. The alphabet, you know, Jace is learning that now. He's singing the alphabet to us. He's singing over in, he comes out and he goes, I'm going to do the best way he can. The B-I-B-L-E, by the book for me, stand alone. Bible! You know, so he I know where he's going with it. But we start at a young age, music. And I'm, you know, Justin, I'm sure you're already singing to your kids. Or there's music that's a part of it just because it's soothing, it's teaching truth. Music has a way to teach truths by using music to convey important spiritual concepts, allowing the message to penetrate deeper into the hearts and minds of the listeners, essentially acting as a form of teaching through song, where lyrics carry theological meaning and reinforce key beliefs. This is also a key thing you can look at whenever you work with teens, and you talk about the music they're listening to, and they say, oh, I don't listen to the words. It's just the music. The music is carrying the words, you know, and we know that because of what the positive side of it. One of the reasons songs have melodies and are catchy is because they are meant to be repeated over and over again, seeping into our minds and proclaiming the message they present, good or bad. When songs have truths about God in them and true doctrine, we can't help but to be molded by them. Remember what Colossians 3:16 said. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. Songs can help teach us, encourage us, correct our posture towards God, and remind us of the goodness of God. When times become uncertain, or tragedy falls, or hardships attack, how awesome is it that a song sent from a friend, a song we sing on Sunday, or a song that you're listening to in your headphones can completely change your outlook on life. We then can take the truths this song proclaims and reaffirm them over and over again, remembering that we're not serving a fictitious dictator, but rather a real, loving, sovereign, holy God who runs all, rules all, and is above all. Beautiful biblical songs are not just something to tap your foot to or lead you to an emotional high. They are a medium in which God has ordained for his church to proclaim truths and wield as a weapon in spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this with the teaching function of the congregational singing. For one of the chief things we are doing when we sing together is instructing and exhorting one another, as in Ephesians 5:19, where Paul speaks of our addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He repeats that in Colossians 3:15-17, where he writes, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Did you catch the thought flow there? The peace of Christ can only rule in our hearts as the word of Christ dwells richly in us. But how does that happen? It happens, says Paul, as we teach and admonish one another in all wisdom by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts. Such a statement surely makes singing integral to the spiritual life and health of the church. Far from being a leg-stretching exercise before and after the sermon, it is in fact part of the sermon. It's the part where we all preach, both to ourselves and to each other. And the fact is that the songs we sing are often remembered long after the sermons have been forgotten. Now, as far as us, when we lead the church in song, we are actually teaching them God's word. We are helping the word of Christ dwell in them richly. Memorizing songs is the best way to press scripture deep down into people's hearts. Most people won't remember the sermon, but they will remember a song for the rest of their life. Think about almost all of our children's programs. Music is used to teach and memorize different things. In the church, we use music to help children memorize different Bible verses. By singing biblically saturated songs, we are forming people's souls. We are helping them carry God's word with them, which in turn will carry them through their deepest, darkest valleys. We may not feel like it, but we are all actually Bible teachers. Hi, this is Jeff. I am a vocalist, I am an acoustic guitarist, and I am the worship team tap dancer.
Love it.
Prove it.
Just gotta come up with something.
Hi, I'm Larissa, and I am a vocalist.
Well, how do I go after him?
I'm Laramie. I play bass, electric bass, and I am sometimes a vocalist, but I spend most of my time on the tech team.
I'm Justin. I'm an electric guitarist. I'm a vocalist, and when I need to be, I'm sometimes a drummer or a bassist or some tech things.
I always forget that you drum.
I do sometimes drum.
And then every time he tells me that he plays drums, I'm like,
right. Yeah.
like,
I do love playing.
You do.
I actually now, because of Harley, I drum every day. Yeah. So I'm probably, this is probably the best I've ever been at drumming because I play drums every single day.
It's
so
like
does
a
Harley.
New drummer is unlocked every time he tells me, which is so dumb because I know this, but I'm like, that's right. Mm-hmm. We're not hurting from drummers. We have Justin.
So he's the Bert of the worship team.
The Bert, what do you mean?
Like Ernie?
Mary Poppins. For us over 60 crowd, that made sense. Back to reality now. So what's your first reaction? I've always thought that a lot of times I'll throw out a question and it may not be right where your mind is coming out of the talk. So I want to open it up just like, so where's your mind like right now coming out of what you just heard?
So my, I don't know if it's my first thought, but one thing that definitely came to mind was you saying how, you know, we may not remember every sermon, but we're probably more likely to remember, you know, almost every song, or we remember songs more so, which made me think, like, if we repeated the key phrase of the sermon as many times as we repeat a chorus in, like, Great Are You, Lord, where it's a lot of chorus in there, like, we probably would remember the sermons more, which I don't know if there's anything there. It probably has more to do with taking notes, or, like, you know, the how to write the conclusion of a sermon is to repeat the, you know, the point of it a whole bunch of times, mm-hmm. or really line up the two. But that sort of came to my mind as, like, yeah, it's partially just the practical side of repeating choruses and repeating verses and singing songs many times, that if we just, you know, if something really sticks with us, if a sermon really sticks with us, if we remind ourselves of that sermon by taking notes and reviewing notes, mm-hmm. like you would before a test, or, like, you know, something you have to do all the time, we'd probably remember it similar to the way that we remember mm-hmm. songs.
That's true. I thought this is too, so basic, but I thought about the books of the Bible and how the only way I know them is with the rap. It's the only mm-hmm. way. Like, I'm like, Leviticus, Exodus, like, you know, it's Genesis, guys. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Like, that's the only way that I know it. And so I was like, yes, that is how I've learned almost all of my Bible, is by memorizing. I was in Awana as a kid, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. way back Awana days. But I was in Awana, and everything was taught in song. I mean, like, all sure. of your verses and your cubbies and your sparks, it's all taught. Mm-hmm. in song. So kind of what I was thinking about is, I agree with it. And also was thinking about how fitting it is to have you in the room, because this is, like,
yeah.
what you do.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, for a billion reasons, but one of the things that stuck out the most, like you were saying, just like our ABCs, right, which are so basic, but a lot of what we learn, or what we teach, I should say, with the preschoolers is through rhythm and song mm-hmm. and music. And at the end of the year, we teach them John 3:16, or we do it with TK. And it's like, John 3:16, hey, John 3:16, hey. And it's so fun, and they love it, and it sticks. And mm-hmm. now I have two kids that have gone through the preschool now, my own children, and now they're in public school. And there's no bashing on public school, but obviously they're not getting, mm-hmm. you know, a Christian education right now and in school. And those songs still stick mm-hmm. and they still know them. Like, you know, I bring up a couple lines and they'll finish them. And then on top of that, we obviously listen to a ton of Christian music mm-hmm. and they're singing it all the time. So, like, Emma is in her tub and I don't know, she's singing Holy Forever, and her little, you're like, and she's like blasting it up. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Because mm-hmm. like you said, it's in her and she's knowing it yeah. and she's speaking truth, singing truth. Right. And mm-hmm. she's aware of it. But the fact that it's just, like you said, kind of like, I don't know how you worded it, but something like seeping down into our soul, mm-hmm. like that concept, that's, it's the power of music. It's something absolutely, that
yeah.
is intrinsic. Our body responds to it. Our brain responds to it. We memorize it. And it's a God-given thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, he gave it to us for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the words are important. Because as you were mm-hmm. saying that, like, with her singing Holy Forever, my Gus, my little one, he, whenever he can't, like, understand what the words are, he, first of all, he made up a whole other verse for Waymaker, where he was like, you are here floating in the darkness. We worship you, we worship you, because he just didn't hear it. But my favorite is Jaira. Yeah. He sings China, you are enough. Like, China, you are enough. So, like, it's important.
It's a big country.
To clarify what the words are.
Yeah. But yeah, just to clarify, it's actually Jaira.
It's Jaira. I know. It's not China, buddy. It's Jaira.
He's like, great, thanks. Really clear that up. I know exactly what Jaira is.
Means,
I know
yeah.
exactly
like,
what
oh,
that
really
means.
Really awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
So if we're talking about how music teaches us and instructs us, it affects us two different ways. One, it's instructing and teaching us. So I'd love to have you respond to what is a song that has really helped you in a hard time, because it's been a part of you, you've brought it, or God has brought it back to mind, or somebody has, you've heard it and said, oh, I needed that at this moment. And I would challenge that concept that anytime we've needed something and we've gotten it, whether it's been, oh, it's on the set list this week, or a friend happened to text it, or it was on the radio, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think he said, you're going to need this. I'm going to give it to you. But what are some, what's a song that just like has just been very a blessing to you, that's really just encouraged you, helped you, that carried you through the hard times, that's been a good instruction to you or reminder?
I have one right out the gate. There's a song called Mercy. And it has like helped me in many ways, but in primarily, so the chorus of it is, I know that you delight in showing mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. And it repeats that, you know, twice. And for me, I grew up very Baptist and very afraid of the Lord. Like I was like, at any moment he's gonna get me, you know. I'm serious.
Sheriff God.
And I would go to bed every night and like do the prayer thing where you're like, okay, I'm sorry that I did this, and then blanket and anything else that I might have done that I didn't think about, because I don't want to die and go to hell tonight. Right. Like, you know, like I do want to be with you one day. So like I had a lot of like of that just in me,
sure,
you know, as I'm getting older. And then I was in college when I heard that song for the first time and was like, he delights in showing mercy. Like, I mean, like it was like, it shook me, and mercy triumphs over my own judgment, over your judgment. Like for me, that has been something that I go to all the time. Like if I feel shame coming from coming from the side that's just going to blindside me, I'm like, but I know that he delights in showing mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his mercy triumphs over judgment, you know? So yeah, that's one for me that I go to all the time.
I think recently being like the last 2-ish years, something like that, probably the song Gratitude. Just because we sang it all the time, like last year at Touch the World and stuff. And, you know, worship night's great for those sorts of things. So it feels like a lot of times when we do that song, especially because it's so long, and so you're singing that song for so long, that it almost, the entire song almost feels like a break, where it's like literally like Thanksgiving is a holiday where you have like a couple days off and you're literally just like, you take a breath and you're like, right, there's a lot that I'm thankful for. There's a lot in my normal life that I take for granted that, you know, are wonderful blessings, that kind of thing. So that song being long and having the wordless singing parts and those sorts of things, and being something that we've gone to many times at Touch the World or other worship nights, it feels like that sort of same thing where you're like, by the time you're 2/3 of the way through the song, you're like completely devoid of all the other things in your life. And you're like, yeah, you can reflect on all the sorts of things that you're thankful for that are great blessings in your life. So that has certainly stuck out to me.
There are a lot, but the first one that came to mind is I Trust in God. And that one's carried me through a lot of things. But I also just listen to it to be reminded of like who I trust in. Like, yeah, it's been a rough day. Yeah, it's been a rough 5 years. Like, yeah, things have been tough, but it's like, but I know you're in control and I can trust in you. You're my, you know, just, you're the one I rely on. So those words are like a breath of air. And then there's another one, and I can't remember the name of it. He is my firm foundation, my anchor won't be moved. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Storms may collide.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. Yes. I don't have my phone on me.
I know. But I'll find it. But that one.
Shout out in the comments.
So I'll put it in. It's so good. Oh, you got it? Never lost. Yeah. And there's let me just. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness, and he's never lost a battle. You know, you could listen to this one over and over again, and I do sometimes. But we have a friend and a colleague who's been going through a really rough time with sickness, and this is a song that I've listened to on repeat as like almost like a way of just continuously reminding myself to stay firm in the Lord and pray for her. But I've also sent it to her, just been like, hey, listen to this one for me, you know? It's just this, you know, you can't help but not be like, yeah, like you talk to everything. You control everything. We're under you, you know? Our firm foundation, you know, our anchor.
What about you, Jeff?
Let's see, today is Tuesday. So today's song is, No, it, to me, yeah, it's a lot of, I was thinking about that, and it's kind of whatever hits, whatever I'm needing at that point. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm lost, and I know I've said that, check back on the previous podcast, I know I brought this song back up before, Waymaker. Mm-hmm. Just when I'm feeling, I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to go, what am I, he's the Waymaker. Mm-hmm. He's going to show you. That's great. I'm constantly brought back to, it is well with my soul.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
When you hit that chorus, I mean, you're just there. You're like, can I sing this? I am singing it. So, and then his spirit goes, all right, if you're singing it, I will make it so. Mm. That it will be well with your soul now. So there's just a lot of different songs that hit me when we're, I love Manatee from, you know, VBS song. No. I do bring that song up a lot. Whenever we're doing charades,
the one for
and
me.
Grant is doing something, I'm like, it looks like a manatee. Manatee. It's like, so that's that was a VBS, so it's got to be a Christian song. No. Somehow we'll make that work. Deuteronomy 31:19-21 says, now write down for yourselves this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so that it may be a witness for me against them. When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised an oath to their fathers, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to their gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And when many disasters and difficulties come upon them, this song will testify against them, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. Mm. So here's God telling the Israelites, I know it's going to come. I need you, what just happened, write this down. Remember it. The very first song recorded is Moses' song when the Egyptians are crushed in the water. And he immediately writes a song about it. So they're always going to be reminded of it. So there's the reminder of it. And just as we testified, there's different songs that do that for us. So now on the other side, we are being instructed by these songs. And we have talked about how they have ministered to us and carry us. We're also privilege to lead, and with that comes responsibility. That what we are teaching in song, you know, on Sunday morning are biblically accurate. Not every song needs to be a scripture song that is like, and now we're going to sing Genesis 5, and now we're going to sing John 12, you know. Some of them happen to have things that we want to make sure that they are always reflective of the scriptures or the character of God. What does... We're all leading in some way, whether on the bass, vocal, electric, drums, anything else Justin does, or you know anything that we're leading. You know, we're leading from the tech booth. You know, there's things that God has called us. What does that responsibility and privilege? Mm-hmm. And I think those two are those are linked. How does that sit with you? Mm.
I mean, it's big.
Yeah.
It's big. And especially whenever, for me, sometimes I'll encounter songs that I have not, that to me have not rang true yet. Mm-hmm. Stephen Hussey, he talked about this just a couple of, maybe like in the last episode, where he was talking about how sometimes it's dangerous with some songs because they haven't rang true yet for people. And so for me, It is hard, but it also at the same time, I'm like, I think for me, it drives me to find the truth in them too, which is good, because if I have to lead something that for me, I don't feel like, for instance, I trust in God, you know, there are times whenever I'm like, maybe,
yeah,
I like you are the one who never fails, you know what I mean? But like, I don't feel like you're never failing,
right,
you know?
Right.
So like for me, I try to make it drive me to, you know,
find it.
Sure.
So, and then also at the same time though, I have this might be oversimplistic, but it's enough for me to say that if I'm going to sing it until it's true for me, that's something that very much so that I have to tell myself a lot of the times of like, I do not believe this. I'm going to sing it until it's true for me. I do not believe this. I'm going to sing it until it's in me. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's more in me now. I'm going to be in faith in this now. Like it's like a cycle almost sometimes with me with certain songs, to where like the first time I worship to it, I'm like, okay, you know, here's a great example. This is our God. This is who he is. Mm-hmm. He loves us. Okay, that song, Who Pulled Me Out of the Pit, He Did, He Did. Whenever I first heard that song, I was like, this is catchy. You know what I mean? Like, it's catchy. Who paid for all my sin? Nobody but Jesus. Like, it felt like very simple. And it took me worshiping to that song multiple times to be like, no, who pulled me out of the pit? He did. Yeah. He did. Like, it just has changed the more and more that I am sitting in that.
Yeah.
So it's hard sometimes to get a new one. I think you got to do like your rounds and songs before you can lead them. Like, I really do. Like, I think you get assigned a song and I think you really have to, like, instead of just like listening to it and being like, I'm going to sing this. Yeah. I'm like, you really got to do your rounds in them and be like, you know, is it in me? Do I believe this? You know, and kind of get it in you. So that's kind of what I think.
Yeah. There's definitely that like just purely technical time that you're trying to learn or cram in a song when it's a new one that you're just hardly digesting the lyrics at all, especially with like hymns that there's hymns you've sung 100 times until you're finally like, what does that mean really?
What
that you like really
spring.
Yeah. That it really like causes to you to reflect, which can be very good to stop and
absolutely
be like,
yeah,
wait a minute, what is this? That you're like, you know these words technically, you know how they fit together because it is a song you've known for forever and you have to stop and say, you know, what does it mean to come, thou fount of every blessing? Like, they, like, oh, I guess he is the fount. He is, come, he is the fount of every blessing. Okay, so now, okay, oh, I'm singing that God come bring his blessings to us. That you're like, so you have to stop and start thinking deeper about these songs. And and yeah, same thing with new songs or songs that you've sung a bazillion times.
Yeah, and to, like, piggyback a little bit off of that, the one we did this past week in Blessed Assurance, right?
I love that song.
So
I'm so glad you do. We barely made it through it.
I know.
So, Blessed Assurance. So I didn't grow up with hymns, right? I grew up in a Catholic church, and you know, it's like up and a down and a bit bit a pop and a.
Is that what goes on
like
a Catholic church?
No, like that is a good way of explaining hymns.
And so it wasn't like there wasn't a lot of overly catchy songs where you're like, I'm gonna blast that one at home, you know. And that's fine. But Blessed Assurance, so I'm newer to hymns, and oh my gosh, I can't remember. Shira, am I saying her name right? Shira from The Door Greeter. She's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
I might be saying her name wrong, but I love her. She it was like the first time we sang that song, and she was like, oh my gosh, like I heard that song, and I immediately started crying because it brought me back to when I was a young girl in church with my parents, and you know, and she loves the Lord, and just listening to her. And realizing, like, he gives us this ability to be up here, and we have a purpose. And I didn't know that, right? Like, I had no clue that that was going to impact somebody the way it did, unless she said something, right?
Yeah.
And people are walking through in the morning, and we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what's going on in their home life, their spiritual life. Do they have a spiritual life? And then music that we are singing and preaching, even if we're not fully aware of it, is ministering to them. And that's like that, like you said, it's a big job. It's a scary job. You don't want to mess things up. Because it could be the matter of, you know, seeing God for who he is that very day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. It's a very big responsibility, but also just how he uses us is just, that always blows my mind where I'm just like, wow, he just does. And I'm like, it's just crazy to me. And I'm always thankful for it. I obviously said thank you to her and I was like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, because I really didn't know that song that well up until that point. It was new to me. I thought it was a beautiful song and I love obviously love the lyrics, but just like, oh wow. This is an age-old hymn that, like, really is meaningful to so many.
It's interesting. So it came to mind, we have an opportunity to kind of know the songs. And to sit in them. Congregation doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
They kind of come in and...
It's like a
there's no order of service anymore
time.
Either. It's not like, oh, the third song, I know that one, I like it. So it's like the key change, like, oh, where are they going with this? I wonder if, so I'm just thinking out loud, can we, should we, I'm not sure what the word would be there, give permissions. Like, you know, some of you with what you're dealing with, you may need to just sit back and allow the words to speak to you, as opposed to declaring them.
Yeah.
Let the truth kind of envelop you right now.
Yeah.
Just look at them and listen and let the music hit you as opposed to you trying to sing it. I don't know that I've ever seen that in a service where people have said, you know, if you don't feel like you can sing, that's okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let God use the music in a different way, you know. Yeah. So I don't know, just when you were just saying, we have the opportunity to kind of know and say, oh, I don't know if I can sing this yet, but now I'm living it. Now I can do it. And we're just calling him with the second note.
Yeah.
Ready, go. it just came to mind.
Yeah. No, I think giving permission mm-hmm. is something that we have the privilege to do because we have mics. You know, mm-hmm. like I think as a vocalist, you give permission with what you do with your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you give permission with how people see what you're doing.
Sure. Yeah.
If I do this, then they feel they have permission to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also like verbally giving people permission
mm-hmm.
As well. The worship background that I come from, my recent worship background, we gave a lot of permission from the stage. And it was giving people the permission to say, like, you don't have to stand, you can sit. If you want to walk to the back of the room, you can do that. Like, we gave a lot of permission when it came to that, to allow people to take the posture they needed to take. Because people don't know what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
So true.
You know? I think that that's totally a good idea to, you know, help people, you know, understand, like, this is not karaoke, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's not karaoke, like, you know, and yeah, like there's a lot of different views. Like I said earlier, like I will sing until it hits me correctly, mm-hmm. but I've also been told in the past to do not sing it until it's real for you. So like, I've been on like both sides of instruction on that, you know, and have found the part that works for me best, but giving people options.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we have like the ability to do that, which is wild. Like Justin could get up there and be like, everyone take off your socks. You're on holy ground. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And to give that permission. But we do. We have like the
mm-hmm.
ability to do that. So to take it really seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not just forming what they have inside of them. You're forming their worship habits.
Absolutely.
That's true. Yeah. We were recently at a concert, CC Winans.
She's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And I was like recovering from another cold, blah, blah, blah. I teach. And I couldn't talk well that night. My mom was there and she kept like elbowing me, like, this is your song, Larissa. Like, sing the song. And it was so funny. And I wasn't singing, I was listening the whole night. And I was like, you wanted me to be quiet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I came away like, there was a reason why I wasn't singing tonight. There was a reason. You wanted to talk to me through the lyrics, through the words, through the way they preached that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I came away with such a like, oh, you're so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's really important to be still and be quiet and just listen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to receive mm-hmm. what he has to say.
Yeah.
You got nothing else?
I got nothing. I got no more questions.
Hmm.
Or statements.
Can I bring up a weird story I heard about you?
About me?
Yeah.
Sure.
I heard like a vocal. It has to do with being a vocalist.
Sure, sure.
So I don't remember exactly how the story went down or even which one of your family members told me. One of them did. There's so many of them.
So many.
Harley came up.
We're in double digits. We're in double digits at this
There's
point.
So many. But someone told me that they knew you played guitar, but then one Sunday you just started singing and they didn't know that you could sing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
One of my family members said
yes.
That?
Like they were like, "Oh my gosh, he can sing."
Yeah, that feels accurate, and and a lot of my friends have like said similar things that like, especially friends that I grew up with in the church that maybe live slightly not even far still in North Jersey, but maybe slightly far away that go to other churches around here that weren't around when I started singing. That then they are maybe back for Christmas Eve or something like that, and I'll sing.
They're just like,
and it is very funny for them to hear me sing. I think because my singing voice and my speaking voice are not all that different. A lot of people go into their singing voice like they have a preaching voice, they have a prayer voice, they have a singing voice, like they have different ones. And I don't think I do. I have it very consistently. I know when Amy and I recorded the hymn song, There's a Voice, I remember Dan Cerrone saying that he was like, he was like, yeah, I heard it on Planning Center. And when Amy was singing, I had no idea it was, you know, you guys. I just heard and I just, oh, what a lovely voice. He's like, as soon as you sang, I was like, oh, that's 100% Justin. Like, just right off the bat.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Until next time, I leave you with the words of Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.